Thank you for that. All right. Did we get the handouts for the lesson tonight? Did we pass those out? Who does? Okay, good. You have those. Okay, we've been talking about discipleship this summer, and the last few weeks we've been talking about the different levels of spiritual growth. Of course, we've looked at the fact that discipleship is it takes commitment, and not everybody that comes to the Lord can be his disciple as he taught us. We looked at that the first week. It takes commitment, and it also takes a life of growth. As we looked at on the very first week, a lot of believers have been prevented from understanding and applying scriptural principles to their life simply because they don't understand it. They've not grown. We looked at the verse there. I believe it's on your sheet. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says, "For the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." In other words, they were not, their spiritual age didn't match their spiritual level. They were not able to understand what they really should have been understanding at that particular place in their life because they did not grow. The goal is God wants us to grow in our maturity. What is spiritual maturity? True spiritual maturity is the ability to recognize what is right and what is wrong. You see the verses there in Hebrews. "For everyone that useth milk," as he mentioned in the verse before, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We talked the first couple weeks about the different levels. The first level we looked at was a babe. That's when you are newly saved as a Christian. It's in your paper there. You can look at it if you weren't here, but we won't go over that again. The second level we get to is a child. We looked at that not last week. We had a youth conference. We looked at that the week before. Now we're going to look at something new. Level three is a son. A son. Look at the verses there in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear when we what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When we grow to that next level, a son, what is a son? Well, first of all, it stresses the character, the relationship between the son. We'll use the son in a generic term. You say, I'm not a guy, I'm a girl. Well, you could be a daughter, but we'll use the generic term son, okay? That stresses the character and the relationship between that child and their father. I think you have the little thing there. The son is one who is in the likeness of his father, okay? Children have this, just this instinctive thing where they want to be like their parents. They want to be like their dad when they're little. They fall. That's why if you mow your lawn and you have a little son, what you do is you buy him a toy lawnmower. And when you're mowing the lawn, you let him come behind you with this toy lawnmower. When he gets a little older, park your lawnmower, give him the real lawnmower, go drink lemonade, and have him do the lawn, okay? He wants to be like his dad. It's based on our relationship with God that commences at salvation. And we know the verse in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We become a child of God. And so inbred in us, and as a Christian, we should have this desire to be like our Heavenly Father. That's really, if you think about it, what godliness is. What is godliness? Being like God. Having God's traits in our life as we live. I remember when I was a little boy, it's probably the early 70s, there was this commercial that used to be on television. It shows this little boy, and he's following his dad. And his dad, you know, his dad was doing something in the shop, and the little boy's got a plastic toy. And then the dad gets in the car, and then those were back before you had to strap kids in all these car seats and everything. The little boy is next, and he has a little plastic toy thing that has a steering wheel, and he's copying dad. And then it shows dad standing there, and dad pulls out a cigarette and starts smoking. Now, the kid didn't pull out a cigarette and start smoking, all right? But the whole point of that commercial even back then was like, hey, dad, your child is watching you, and they're going to become like you. I remember one time we're over here, and we're at the old church, and the little kids were playing games, the children, and Stephen was there, and he had his hands on his hip, kind of weird. And I'm like, man, what is that all about? I said, hey, get your hands off your hip. And my wife goes, you know where he gets that from? I'm like, where? He goes, when you're playing basketball, when you get tired, that's what you do. And I thought about that. You know, it's like, man, that looks girly, you know? So I quit doing that. But he started doing it for me. But children are like that. As a child of God, we ought to want to be like our Heavenly Father. If you want to take it another way, you could say you want to be like Christ. The Bible tells us that God wants us, his desire for us is, once we're saved, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Become like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the Word of God in flesh. Now, that means he was God, but I think it also means if we were to look at somebody and say, what would a human being look like if they obeyed everything the Bible said? I think they would be Jesus Christ. Because he did everything the Bible said. And so that ought to be our goal. What are some of the characteristics? Let's look at some of the characteristics of a son. Letter A. Again, now this is a step above being a child. They embrace adulthood. They embrace adulthood. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Being a son or a child there, we're transitioning into becoming an adult. Spiritually speaking, that needs to take place also. And by the way, in our society in which we live now, people just don't want to embrace growing up anymore. You have men in their 20s, in their 30s, they're married, and they want to act and live like single people, like children. They live their whole life being irresponsible. Their whole life is video game, whatever it is. They don't want to embrace responsibility. I get all these different emails, I always do, and there's a bunch of blogs and things I get emails from. But I remember one of them said an article, and it was about why ladies are choosing to get married later. And a lot, they interviewed a lot of these ladies. A lot of them said because the men are immature and they're childish. They mentioned some of these things. They're more interested in hanging with their buddies. They're more interested in doing this or doing that. And these ladies that they interviewed, they kind of had it on the ball. It's like, we don't want to get stuck with someone like that. Now, I think that's just embarrassment for us. Now, the sad thing is, Christians, we do this all the time. So many Christians settle for staying at a low level in their Christian life. They just settle for it. They settle for just coming to church, just being around Christians, just doing this and doing that. When God wants them to grow to a mature Christian level in their lives. Amen. And a son, he wants to embrace adulthood. One of the things that God will do to help us become mature, and something that will help us and something we need to accept in our life, is when we have trials. Look at the verses there in James. He says, James chapter 1, verse 2. James, kind of like verse 1 is, hey, I'm writing to you, God bless you. And let's just jump right into it, okay? So James says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. This is a different. He talks about sinful temptations later on in the chapter. This is a different temptation. He's talking about a trial, a test. But he says, count it all joy. Count it means to add it up, to understand that when we have trials in our life, that it can add up to joy. But why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. By the way, that's a sign of an adult. When your children, look at, the younger your children are, the less patient they are, okay? But as they grow, they become mature, they're more patient. God brings trials or tests into our life to teach us patience. Why? What does patience bring about? Look at the next verse. But let, that means we have to let it. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let me explain that. Perfect means mature. Tire means complete. Wanting means lacking. So in other words, whenever unpleasant situations are allowed in our life by God, if we allow God to use it, it helps us to become mature, become complete, have everything in our life God wants us to have spiritually, and we don't lack anything. How do you respond to trials in our life? Immature people don't handle it very well. But when we're growing in our faith, God uses those things to strengthen us. But if we're going to grow, we have to accept it. Let me just say this. Don't be content with where you're at spiritually. Never be content. Letter B. What else about a son? They accept punishment. Accept punishment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 8 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, means punish, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is there whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, and this isn't a cuss word, then are ye bastards and not sons. A bastard is not something you yell at someone when you get mad, all right? It just means that you don't have a father. What he's saying is, if we, God isn't looking to punish us, do something wrong and I'm going to get you. No. But sometimes in our life, if we get away from God and we're not following his correction, the same what would happen when our children aren't listening. What do? We punish them. What's the purpose of punishment? To get our anger out. No. Punishment is to keep them in line. Because if they continue that course of action in their life, they are going to hurt themselves. By the way, I wish our society understood that. People don't tell their children what to do anymore. And I'm talking about that old. Say, how do you know? We have a daycare. And most of the inmates are running the asylum. It'll be a cold day somewhere before a two-year-old dictates my life. Come on, let's go. I don't want to go. Come on, mommy's got something to do. Come on, let's go now. I don't want to. That's tough. We're leaving. That solves a lot. But if we don't, and so those kids, by the way, are being taught to grow up and go their own way. See, we have this, we have a, and in our school system, they're everywhere. Don't tell kids what to do. Don't preach at them. They got to figure it out themselves. Their children, their son, they can't figure it out themselves. They learn that through a loving discipline. Look what he says about discipline. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I love my child too much to punish them. No, you don't. You don't. That's not love. Now, you may have been taught that by somebody that doesn't know anything about it. That's not love. How could love allow somebody to go their own way and get hurt? It's not love. He says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And every son, it's based on our relationship. I discipline my children. I'm not going to discipline your children. They're not mine. I don't, if I see the neighbors, unless the neighbor's kid's running in the street, depends on which kid it is, actually, but just kidding. If I see the neighbor's kid running the street, I might help. I'm going to help. But listen, if I see the neighbor kid disobeying his dad, that's none of my business. It's not my son. I'm responsible for mine. That's why he says, listen, if you don't get discipline from God, then that's a sign that maybe you're not his. Listen, people get away from God. It happens, right? And sometimes people that are away from God will come back to church. Amen. By the way, we love them, accept them, and don't say anything. You never say, well, where have you been? Look what the cat drug in. Come on. That's not helpful. How's everything going? I've seen this response before, like, man, not good. I need to get back to church. I need to get back with the Lord. You know what that's a sign to me of? They're saved. Someone goes, how's everything going? Good. All right. You know, I don't need this church stuff. Everything's great. One of two things. They're either lying, which they could be, or I wonder if they're saved. You know, when I got saved, I didn't serve God for 2 years. I got saved and God had dealt with me for like a 6-month period about salvation. So it's something I thought of and it's something I understood completely. But after I got saved, I didn't serve God for 2 years. But can I just tell you something? Things were different. All the nonsense I used to do before I got saved, I started getting caught. I started being miserable. I started having, it's like, hey, what was that all about? You know what it was about? I was God's son. He's like, hey, you're my son now. That's not how we act. But what happens is we fight that. We don't accept that punishment. You know, children can fight punishment. By the way, if they're fighting punishment, it's not being done right. But as we get older, we have to accept it. Because he tells us that if we don't deal with it, he says it causes bitterness. Why did God do that to me? Because you weren't listening. We have to accept that punishment. The best thing to do is this, avoid it. God's not down looking at heaven for you to make one wrong move. Because when we sin, what do? We confess our sins, right? We confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But discipline is when he wants to work in our life. Think about Jonah. That's major discipline. Let's leave that for Jonah, amen? All right, letter C. They accept the Father's leading. They accept the Father's leading. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. One of the huge blessings of being born into the family of God is that we have a heavenly Father now. And when we're saved, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, and God's Spirit leads us on a daily basis to what God wants us to do. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about this spooky nonsense. Someone comes up and they have that weird look in their eyes. God was speaking to me about you. It's like, I hope it wasn't gossip. I remember one time, the very first anniversary of our church, we had an old friend into the service, and he was going to some different type of church, but was an old friend of ours, and he came up afterwards and said, God was speaking to me about you the whole service. I'm like, wow, I would have thought God had been, you know, trying to bless the service. He told me that he is really going to bless you the next few months. Now, I don't know if he got the number crossed or something. Those were some of the roughest months we had. We had a lot of problems. I'm thinking, maybe God didn't speak to him after all. How does God primarily speak to his children? Through the Word of God. If someone said, God told me something, you know what your next question ought to be? What verse was that? Well, God led me. And by the way, God does lead us sometime. But you know, the confirmation that it was God comes a little later. There's a story in Jeremiah where he talks to Jeremiah. God speaks to him and says, hey, I want you to buy this piece of land. And it was kind of a picture that the Israelites would be back in their land. And then after he gets this speaking from God, well, I think it was his uncle came and said, hey, there's a piece of land we want you to buy. And after his uncle came, Jeremiah said, then I knew it was the word of the Lord because it was confirmed. So I'm not talking about some spooky thing. I'm talking about God speaks to us through his word. The Spirit of God, listen, if you know the word and a situation comes up and you're going to make a bad decision and you know enough of the word to know it's wrong, the Spirit of God will let you know that. The question is, are we allowing ourselves to be led? Most people, when they make bad decisions, most of the time, they know what they really, deep down in their heart, kind of know what the right decision is. But they've kind of let their flesh and kind of let circumstances speak to them to try to talk them out of it. Maybe it's outside influences or pressure. Sometimes people come, they say they want counsel, but a lot of times they just want to tell you what they're doing and hope you'll put your stamp of approval on it. And by the way, if someone comes to me and tells me what they're doing, I'm not going to say anything. It's like, are you asking a question here? But you know why? Because really deep down we know the Spirit of God will let us know what we're supposed to do through the Word of God. But are we willing to listen? We have to listen. Children have to want to listen. Remember, I was listening to an interview one time, I think it was Wayne Gretzky, and he said, man, when I was younger, he goes, I kind of butt heads with my dad because I didn't think he knew what he was doing. He goes, he wasn't until I had children of my own before I realized my dad knew what was right. Why is it we're like that? Aren't we all like that? Our parents don't know what's going on until we get a little older. It's like, you know, mom and dad knew a little bit more than I thought they knew. Because inside, there's something inside of us that wants to rebel against that leading. But we cannot do that. We need to follow and accept God's leading in our life. Next, letter D. They are willing to separate for relationship's sake. They are willing to separate. Look at 2 Corinthians, the verses there. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Unsaved, bad influences, and so forth. And touch not the unclean thing, and he says, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And he talks about other things, what concord had Christ with Belial and other things. But one of the things he tells us in this verse is, there are things that God wants us to separate ourselves from. Why? Because it's wrong and it'll affect our relationship with God. Yep. People talk about, well, I believe in separation. Separation is a biblical concept. We don't just separate to say, well, you know, we're better than this. Because we're separating from things that would hurt our Christian life, would hurt our walk with God, and hurt our relationship with God. That's what it's about. He goes, if you do these things, I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. God is our father, but are we letting him father us? Fathering really, in a sense, is a verb. It's an action. We're fathering our children. We're helping to guide them and train them. But there'll come a time in their life when they get old enough, if they want, they could rebel and not accept it. And so God will be a father. He is our father, but are we allowing him that place in our life? Separation helps us. It's like the wedding vow. The wedding isn't just you get them. What is also it says in there? And forsaking all others. Entering into the marriage relationship is entering into a closed relationship. I'm saying yes to her, if you're a guy, just so we understand that. Or I'm saying yes to him, if I'm a girl. And by saying yes to your spouse, you are saying no to every other person. That's how it works. Sometimes there are things for the sake of our relationship for God that we need to say no to. That's separation. Maybe things we listen to. Maybe things we see. It may be people we have associations with. We need to be very careful about, because those things are anti-God and they're going to affect my relationship with God. And so I say, I don't want to have that interfere with my relationship with my Heavenly Father, so I'm going to separate from that. Are we willing to do that? Heard an illustration. Someone said, separation is like a wall. You can see a wall as one of two things. You see a wall as keeping you in, so you're missing out on what's on the outside of the wall, the good things. Or you can see a wall as keeping me protected from the harmful things that are outside of the wall. That's what separation is. God's not trying to keep good from us. Fact of the matter, he knows what things are bad for us, and so he wants us to stay away from that. Separation. Next, they are to receive their father's words. They are to receive their father's words. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 and 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You say, well, what do you mean receive? I have a copy of the Bible. That's great. That's great. I'm glad you have a Bible. But it's not just possessing a Bible. It's understanding and knowing God's word and accepting its influence in my life. Though I have verses memorized. Wonderful. I can quote them backwards. I can quote them sideways. But let me ask you this. Do you understand what they say, and do you do what they said? That's receiving it. Parents try to teach their kids right and give them lessons through things that happen in life that hopefully they'll take on for the rest of their life. But that's their choice. We have to receive God's word. Not just read them, although that's vitally important. Can't understand something you don't know, right? Not just hear them. Well, I read my Bible and I come to church. But do you read your Bible and do you come to church to hear something that God wants you to hear that you can put into practice in your life? That's a key. They must be accepted and acted upon. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. See, sometimes we have the wrong philosophy about God's words. And really, it kind of goes back to that separation and the wall thing. We think God's words are hurtful. They're the world. Someone that doesn't know Christ, you know, they look at our Bible, oh, that's restrictive. And that makes you narrow-minded. And that makes you this. And that makes you that. And it's, you know, you're missing out on life. I'll be honest, I've missed out on a lot of things since I changed my life, or I didn't change my life, God changed my life, and I got into his word. I've missed out on a lot of things. A lot of things I'm glad I missed out on. But the things that are really important in life, the things that produce joy in the life, and the things that honor God, not missed out on one. And if I've missed out on it, it's because I haven't listened to God like I was supposed to. His commandments are not grievous. They're not hurtful. They're not keeping you from something. They're helping you to have everything. Listen, a parent wants what's best for their child. Unless the parent's got some kind of psychological problem. They want what is best for their child. God, do you not think that the God of creation does not know what is best for us and want what is best for us? It's just an understanding problem. What is the spiritual goal of a son? And we're done. The spiritual goal is to demonstrate God's righteousness in this life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. How many of you would agree, based on a lot of what's happening nowadays, that we live in a crooked and perverse nation? And by the way, if you don't understand that, you've not been listening to the God's word, or you've not been listening to what's going on. I think we hide our head in the sand. By the way, be careful what you hear. You're not going to hear all this stuff in the news. They're going to uplift everything that's wrong. You say, but I'm having a trouble understanding with things. How is that wrong? Well, it goes back to what we said at the beginning. What is spiritual maturity? A person who knows and can tell the difference between what's right and wrong. But it's crooked and perverse out there. Among whom, the last part of the verse, you shine as lights in this world. Now, I'll just be honest with you. We're salt in this world. Some people don't like the light. They don't. It's convicting. What does it say that it shows that their deeds are evil? If you go where you work and you live godly and righteous, not combative and mean, not jumping on your table and say you're all going to hell. That kind of nonsense. I'm talking, you're just living a right life. They know you're a Christian. You know you seek to do the right things. Some people, that bothers them. That's why they say things about you. They try to get on you. They're looking for you to make a mistake. Why? They want to bring you down to their level so that their conscience isn't bothered by your light. But I'll be honest with you. There are some people out there, they need the light. Something's going to happen in their life. They're going to be open. And because you're light in this world, they'll come to you. But how does that light come? We're like our Father. We become godly. We become like the Bible says. And we're the kind of son that reflects on our Father. Now, let me give you some questions to ask ourselves as we do at the end each week for personal reflection. A couple questions. First little question there, are you willing to become a mature believer? It's like you can take a 30-year-old young man. I don't know why we're picking on the men, but 30-year-old young man. Physically, you can't stop his body physically from maturing to the age of a 30-year-old. If he's 30, that's what's going to happen. But he mentally, emotionally, and responsibly, he doesn't have to be 30. That's his choice. It's his choice. Same is true spiritually. Do I want to grow? Do I really want to grow in my faith and be a mature believer? Because if you can't answer that with a yes, you never will be. You just can't. Now, God will try to do things to get you there, but you got to be willing. Would you accept God's punishment if that's what it takes to mature you? Really, I could have put there, testing. Sometimes trials come in our life through no fault of our own, and God's like, this is a test. I'm here to help you get through this. Do we accept it? Do you seek God's leading in your life? When something comes up in your life and you have to make a decision, a pretty heavy decision, not like what's for dinner. I don't think God's upset unless you're eating McDonald's. Okay, but I have this decision to make. Is the first thing in your mind, what would the Lord want me to do here? We do just make a decision off the cuff what I feel like doing. Lord, lead me in this. What would you like me to do here? Am I willing to forsake anything that would come between, are you willing to forsake anything that would come between you and your Heavenly Father? It's a tough one. Now, I wasn't as diplomatic as I probably should have been, but when I got right with God, I had a bunch of friends that were not good for me. Yep. A bunch. How you doing, Robert? Did you ever wonder why I quit coming around? Because I always had to buy the pizza. That's why. Just kidding. But I had a bunch of friends. And can I just tell you something? I got so involved in church, I just quit going to see them. We didn't have cell phones or texting, any of that. So it's like, if they wanted to get a hold of you, it's kind of, I just quit going by. Like, I can't go around these guys. Now, they started coming to my doorstep like, man, where you been? Like, I've been at church. You want to come? Now, I probably should have been more diplomatic, but I just kind of like, you know what? I can't hang around with those guys. I'm a new Christian. I don't know what to tell them, so I ain't going near them anymore. By the way, I did bring some of them to church, and some got saved after I kind of got my act together there. But I was really like, you know, I like the guys. But I'm like, I love the Lord more. I got to be very careful. And there were things in my life. This is damaging. And I had to forsake it. And then the last thing is your heart truly open to the words of God? You know, is it, if you read your Bible, which I highly encourage you to do that. But if you read your Bible daily, is it just more of a, I'm following the church checklist? Or is it, you know, I hope God speaks to me today. I want to learn something. Yeah. Let's pray.